Well, it is called Death by Hunger. The Holodomor was a famine in Soviet Ukraine in the early 1930s. It was deliberately caused by communist leader Joseph Stalin's regime. Now, millions of Ukrainians starved to death. Valentina Kurelyev's parents were survivors of the Holodomor. She's in Winnipeg today for her book about the genocidal famine. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
What was going on politically at this time?
At that time, that was in 1932-1933. If you recall, there was the Russian Revolution 1917-1918. Then there was a civil war where a lot of these captive nations tried to gain their independence, including Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And Ukraine was recaptured by the Russian communists. And it was incorporated into the Soviet Union in 1922. So you're given 10 years in which they tried various things and tried to pacify the population, which was not keen on collectivization, losing all their land, equipment, and everything else that they owned. And the Ukrainians had wanted independence, as you can see now.
How did the Stalin regime actually carry out the famine?
So basically, they started off by wiping out the successful farmers. They called them, in Russian, it's kulaks. In Ukrainian, it's kurkul. And this is how it affected my family. Mm-hmm. My family was one of the leading families in a village. It was quite a large village, just outside, about 12 kilometers outside of Kyiv. And my grandfather and my great-grandfather were there with farms.
I can't even imagine your livelihood as a family essentially being taken away from you in this form. How did your family survive this famine?
Well, first of all, before the famine came, the kulaks were destroyed. They either did it by coming in with their armed guards, throwing them out of their homes. My grandmother ended up like that. That in 1930, she was thrown out of her home with six children. By that time, my grandfather had been arrested in 1928. Mm. When they started collectivization, I just found this out, by the way. Yeah. The documents were never available. None of my relatives in Ukraine, all of the older ones who had lived through it, had died, and they wouldn't talk about it. Because it was a forbidden subject for many years, and they figured that it was better left alone because they always feared that somehow things were going to return. Mm. And if you knew too much, you were going to get into trouble. So they couldn't tell me anything about it. So I had talked to a couple of historians, and I said, I'd like to find out what happened to my father was also arrested.
Okay.
But I'd like to get the papers that, you know, the archives are open. I'd like to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually found out that my grandfather in 1928, along with five other guys, actually burnt down the house of the activist who was doing this collectivization. So there were lots of rebellions. When I was growing up, for example, I didn't hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
But now all the documents are coming out, and my grandfather ended up being imprisoned as a result. So what they did was they imprisoned the men, they sent them to Siberia, or else they executed them right off the bat. And he ended up spending from 1928 until 1937, and then he died in prison.
Wow.
And my great-grandfather died in Siberia, where they took him out at the age of 77, and he didn't survive for more than a year.
I wonder how this echoes through generations, how this affected your family
it did affect the family. My father was thrown. He was the eldest son of the eldest son. So he would have inherited land and stuff like that. So they threw him out of school when he was in grade 3, saying that no kulak children need to have an education.
Wow.
Talk about discrimination and the dehumanization that happens in a genocide, of selecting a specific group of people that you want to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up going into a trade school that, you know, where he didn't have to have a lot of education. What is interesting, his younger brother, who was brilliant, decided with his mother that if he went into an orphanage, he could get an education.
Oh, my.
So he did. And do you know what he became? He became a professor of international law at the Kyiv State University. It was called Shevchenko Kyiv State University, because he said he had no parents.
Wow.
And that was the kind of lie he lived through. I never met him because he died in 1989, just before the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Yeah. And he was, you know, he was afraid to meet with me whenever I traveled there.
Yeah. Talk about doing yeah. whatever you need to do to survive, though.
Exactly. But, you know, he did it.
Yeah. What effect did the famine have on Soviet Ukraine as a whole?
It traumatized yeah. the population. First of all, they wiped out the kulaks. You're talking about half. The statistics are varied. You know, I've read from 1.5 million to 500,000. Whole families were destroyed, either sent to Siberia. That's why you have a lot of Ukrainians in Russia today. So that's one of the things that happened.
How did the famine end?
The famine ended in 1933 at the end of the summer when Stalin decided, you know, the farmers were so sick that nobody could farm anymore.
Before I let you go here, your book is a resource for teachers to pass on this history to students. Why is it important for you that this story is included in school?
I grew up with this. You know, I was born in a refugee camp in Germany after the war. Mm-hmm. My parents were slave laborers taken out by the Nazis. So they went through communism, and then they went through Nazism as well. Yeah. And they were the lucky ones who were not sent back to the Soviet Union. My father would have been shot because he had been imprisoned in a concentration camp too. So, you know. But I felt that the story had to be told. There were all kinds of stories, and each one is valid. But the concept of genocide, it could happen anywhere. And when under a totalitarian regime, it is more likely to happen to that extent, just like you had under the Nazis and you have under the communists. And basically, none of the communist genocides have been dealt with, except for in Cambodia. And I'm a history teacher. I'm a history specialist. I was a department head of history with the Toronto District School Board. I taught about all kinds of things. And yet, why couldn't I teach about this one? Which was horrendous. So we taught the Soviet Union. I always taught it because it was part and parcel of the 1930s in the Soviet Union. But others didn't know anything about it. And so we were very lucky that when Ukraine became independent, there a lot of the documents came out and scholars started writing about it. And I decided that, you know, to teach it, somebody had to get it into the curriculum. So I took it on.
Well, I appreciate you telling me more about it today. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, you're very welcome.
Valentina Kurelev is the author of Holodomor in Ukraine, The Genocidal Famine, 1932 to 1933. She's at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights to talk about her book from 4 until 6 today.